Women Podcast.
Up next, what a way to open the festival, the stunning emotive poetry of Neelam Saradia Braley. Neelam is an award-winning poet, captivating audiences for over 9 years. She's a slam winner, regular headliner. She's appeared on BBC Radio Kent, BBC Upload, Marlowe Theatre, Hammer and Tongue Cambridge, and regularly performs and works with Gulbenkian. In 2020, she was awarded the Apple and Snakes Gerwood Arts Poetry Performance Award, and she's developing her project, Queer Brown Skin, which is about powerful women of colour standing together and the journey of healing after trauma. Her debut poetry collection is being published by Verve this year. Take it away, Neelam.
So out there on the rubber swings, we started planning our life together. Hand singing of metal and chain links, we first painted the pathways. I wanted a tiled runway, confident and secure, to guide our aeroplane hearts home. But you wanted the path to be a meditation, curved and quiet so you can see the ginger and wildflowers growing in our front, a dirt path to keep you grounded. You swung slower than I did, toes skimming the ground while mine pointed to the sky. So I slowed, and we compromised. We could have both, a path which mused and then rolled into surety. What about the house, you said? Huge. We'll put pennies together to create a mansion big enough for our memories, a room for each one, a house so big you have to take steps backward, open mouth, plus be your hat at the back of your head so it doesn't fall off when you eye it up and down. Plus, there'll be a chimney so laughter has room to fly. And a reinforced steel attic stock full of supplies and weapons and entertainments so we could defend our house in the zombie apocalypse. He sped up and we swung in sync, lungs filled with the taste of possibility. But in all honesty, I said this poet and artist pair would only have a small gold pile to balance our Jenga house on. Taking pennies out now made the blocks unsteady. We slowed down again, our peeling seats feeling heavy. But you said we'd compensate by having massive windows. We'd let the light in, let it settle, in chairs, across book spines, in bowls and spoons, in your hair and on my skin. Anything the light couldn't quite reach, we'd help it out and paint those parts yellow. Apart from the kitchen, of course, where fumes of pancake smoke and peppery chai and jazz and the ghost of spice, which would coat the white walls as they needed to, and the sounds of a kettle boiling like the final sigh after a long day. And I'd like to get outfit fridge magnets so we could create fun yet organised shopping lists, but one of us will probably spell out poo or bum, and it will stay like that for weeks because it would make us smile every time we open the door and neither of us will want to move it. The artery hallways would lead to the living room, where we'd have framed sketches and photographs and a mix of perfectly worn and completely unopened books, with spaces pushed between the shelves to make room for more Buddha statues, because obviously four in one room is not enough. And yes, there'd be my sprawl of papers and half-rolled socks that I'd taken off immediately after coming home from work, where they'd slipped into the valley of the sofas, which you'd inevitably find a little too close to your face about 10 minutes into your unsuspecting nap. The bath would be big enough for our elbows and knees, our insecurities. The bed would be good for that too. The third eye of the house, this room would have bundled clothes in various piles, promises you'll wear them again, and the walls would hold giggles and late night conversations tight like precious stones in closed palms, and we'd sleep under a skylight, with blinds we wouldn't ever close so we could always see the stars, and pretend that we're actually sleeping on a flat rooftop in the wild, bathed in the cool air. On unclear nights, we would watch the rain beat down only to change its mind and drip down the edges of the roof. And because you always fall asleep quicker than I do, the soundtrack of you sleeping would be a symphony I gladly conduct into the early hours, just so I could see it through, because it would sound like home more than these bricks ever could. And through the window, in the garden, past the slow-growing vegetables and forgotten kitchen towels still hanging on the washing line, would be a set of swings, like the ones we're on now, so that when we get there, we'll be able to look back from the other side and say, we made it. We swung faster and faster and, ready for the next stage in this adventure, let the swings push us forward and jumped, hoping to land on our feet. Where is the poetry of resistance?
It is written on placards and in marches of Me Too, we are the ones we've been waiting for and silent no longer. It is passed on the lips of underground battles from street corner preachers to the boy-on-boy love of yes. It is shouted at crowds by young women with shaved heads, we are worth more than your bullets. It is whispered into the hollows of baby chests as they are lowered into incubators, the prayers of first-time parents willing them to survive with their soft fingers, strong enough to cling to washing lines, even they have a tendency to hold on. It is in the hands of a boy who can't read words on pages. They dance in his eyes, so he puts them on a scale, turns them into music. It is two people who have never met, consoling each other in biro on public toilet walls. I feel so lonely, I feel the same way. It is a girl looking at herself in bathroom mirrors, commanding over, come. The poetry of resistance is not ironed neatly onto pretty paper. It is passed down generations like memorized songs of your homeland. It is a live thing that refuses to be pressed between hard back. It is loud and angry in fists and stay with me. It is keep standing, keep sitting, keep marching until they finally notice us. Notice black bodies under blue sirens. It is not supposed to be that way. It is be kind. This will pass, we can change things, we believe we can, one moment at a time. It is radical self-love of bodies that were never made to fit in hope chests, but who love exactly as they are. It is survivors, overcome with purpose, with poetry in their skin. It is protest, it was in your bones to resist arrest. We can fight back together, know your voice is powerful with the tendency to soar, keep it that way. Shout it from tower blocks. We are electric thunderstorms in August and the first calm breaths after a bad night when the sun finally comes up for air. But it is also quiet. Small moments of rebellion, a look defiant and tiny, and tomorrow will come.
Power of Women podcast. Power of Women.